Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
For those who lead us in our worship, and they're thankful when I don't talk over the keyboard. All right. Thank you, Miss Kim. Sorry about that. Stomping on your keys. Man, so glad you're here. We're going to be in John chapter 19. John chapter 19 is serious. We're going to look at verses 17 through 37. It's probably the most serious passage of Scripture. It's dealing with the cross of Christ. There's a lot of big moments in the Scripture. There's a lot of intense times. You know, you think about the Passover at twilight, they're sacrificing the lambs and all those things, but y'all, none of that holds a candle to looking at the cross. We're looking at the crucifixion of the Son of God, the only innocent one, the one who came directly from the Father. He'd been beaten and tried, but now they're taking it to the final step, and they're going to crucify him. And that word crucifixion has come to describe the worst kind of pain that we can have. The word excruciating means from the cross, has that idea of the pain that's experienced during crucifixion. One of the things I want to get you thinking about in this passage, and I know I'm not a serious guy most of the time, and this ain't hellfire and brimstone. I'm not going to spit at you or anything. I'm not going to cuss anybody. But y'all, listen, we need to get our mind set in a serious place to answer two very fundamental questions. The two questions I want you thinking about, first, do I believe the Bible? Y'all, I know the Sunday school answer. I know the easy answer. But I want you to put yourself in that place where Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross for you as it was prophesied by the Word of God. And I want you to ask yourself in a real, most serious way, do you believe the Scripture? In that same moment of pain and agony, I want you to ask this question. Have I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? When we look at the cross, there's no better time to evaluate. There's no more serious place for us to come to in our mind and heart and ask this, have I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or do I just have a church that I attend? A habit, a custom that we get to attend now. Amen. You know, is it just a habit, a preference, a heritage, a custom, or is it something real? That's what we're going to evaluate today. I've noticed how pain, and tell me if this pain helps you prioritize things. Pain will get you thinking seriously. When I worked for FedEx, one of the things they'd have me do would be go into these semi-trucks that were just had boxes and boxes. For y'all who ship things FedEx, you don't want to hear this. But anyways, we did it in a very nice way. But there'd be these semi-trucks full of boxes, 53-foot trailer. And we had conveyor belts that would extend into those trailers. And we'd have people sort the boxes. But I was a young guy. I was like Josh, like my son. I was young and strong. And I would go in those. They'd send me in there by myself. They'd usually send a team of people in there. I said, don't worry about the team. Just send me in there. I'm going to grab those things and dump them. Maybe it's got an avalanche. Pile them on that conveyor belt. And just work you all to death, man. I'm going to do it. And they said, do it. And man, I did it. And I mean, I was accustomed to doing it. I loved doing it. That was my job. That was my thing. Made time go by. Man, I got a workout. It was good. Well, one day I was in one of those trucks, and the conveyor belt I was using didn't have the safety mechanism on the end of it. It used to have like a push bar so that if it hit that push bar, it would shut it down. You know, it was a safety mechanism. Well, that safety mechanism wasn't working. And I wasn't thinking about it, and I was pushing the go button on that conveyor belt, drawing it out, and I don't know what happened. I wasn't paying attention, but a box hit me on the back of the hand, and it shoved my finger up into that extension thing, and so it just started driving my hand through stuff. It started going away with my arm. Let me tell you what happened to my thinking process. All of a sudden, happy-go-lucky getting a workout John became a very serious person. All of a sudden, my priorities were straight. I need to get somebody's attention to shut this thing down or I'm going to lose my hand. So I started hollering, "Help! Help! 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 Get shut the belt down!" Because my hand was going away. We had another time. We got real serious. And since Josh just graduated, thank you all for helping, praying, and giving for Josh and all the 2020 graduates. We're going to give them something at the end of the service. But when Josh was just a wee little guy, we were down in Jackson, Mississippi at the Science Museum, and we went to the playscape out there. And we were playing, and Josh was probably 4, Levi was 2, and Allie was in a car seat newborn. And we were all playing, and it was time to go. So I said, "Hey, Josh, come on, man, it's time to go. Levi." Levi was there. Of course, Levi, you know, he behaves. And Josh wasn't there, but that was okay. We, you know, figured he was hiding from us. You know how kids would do. They'll hide from you. So we're like, "Come on, Josh. Come on, buddy. Come on out." "He's not coming out." "Come on, man. Come on out." "Not coming out." All of a sudden, all the other parents started realizing that I was getting a little panicky. And so they all took their kids, like, "Come on, honey, let's get away from the weird man." And so they took their kids off somewhere else, and the park was empty, and Josh was not there. Or in Jackson, Mississippi. You know, it was like, we're parents. It's like, I can imagine God saying, "I gave you one job. You know, well, you had this one thing to do. And now he's not there, 4-year-old boy, wandering Jackson." We figured something, you know, the worst scenarios go through your mind. How do you reckon I was prioritized? You know, how do you think I went around, you know, really dignified? "Excuse me, have you seen a 4-year-old blonde-haired, you know, young man running around here?" "No, thank you." No, I wasn't like that. I was screaming my head off, "Josh, Josh, Josh, Josh." I went into the men's room and I looked in every single stall. Then I went in the women's room and I looked in every single stall. I went to every picnic table. I looked under it while there were people eating at it. I didn't ask permission. I didn't ask for nothing, because all of a sudden, everything around us became serious. And I didn't care what anybody, it wouldn't have mattered, because we had gotten prioritized. Y'all, when I read this passage of Scripture, get yourself there. Get yourself to that place where it's serious, and all of a sudden now you've got to prioritize things. No Sunday school answers, no VBS answers, no answers that you was just told about. I want to know from your heart, your gut, your mind, do you believe the Scripture? Like, is your life based on the Scripture? Have you received Jesus Christ? Not that your Baptist, your uncle's a Baptist preacher or any of those things. Have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When we read the crucifixion scene, don't mess with Him. It's His pain, but get us to that place of serious. You understand what I'm saying? Prioritize this. Here's the verses, 17 through 37, John chapter 19. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Father God, help us in a most serious manner answer the two questions. Do we believe the scripture? Have we received Christ as our Savior? Father God, I know that this is no game. We know the pain that our Lord must have been going through at that point. He was going through it on our behalf. Help us to have the most serious of minds as we consider these things, so that we won't go through this life aimless, baseless, selfishly thinking that we have done something or we ourselves are the arbiter of truth, but rather have us be submitted to you, Lord, that we might be saved. We love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Look, the first question, do you believe the scripture? Four times in this passage, and there really could be more, but four times it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay? When he's talking about the scripture being fulfilled, specifically he's talking about the Old Testament prophecies. In the Old Testament, there are hundreds of prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How he would be born, the work he would do, how he would die, the fact that he would be raised from the dead, and the fact that he's coming back. All prophesied in the Old Testament. And that's great. If we're playing Bible trivia, woohoo, you can win it. But you know what? I believe God is asking us today, do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Scripture? Or do you just believe some things that you were told? Did you get that punch list of faith that churches give out and you just say, okay, I'll check that off and check that off and check that off? Or do you really, down in your gut, believe that the Old Testament, thousands of years before Christ was born, was telling us who he was going to be, what was going to happen, even to his clothing? Do you believe that those prophecies were about Jesus, or are you just kind of floating around? Y'all, listen, the Word of God is sure, accurate, living, and powerful. But all those preacher things that I said just now, so what if you don't believe them? So what if you haven't come to some kind of deal where you said, Lord, I've stopped long enough, I put my phone up long enough, I have my head out of the TV long enough, I have my thoughts on you long enough to where I truly believe your word. I believe the prophecies of the Holy Spirit. I believe that when it says, they divided my garments over there in Psalm 22, They cast lots and divided my garments, that they were speaking about Jesus Christ. It wasn't some random writing of King David back in the Psalms. It was a specific prophecy. In that chapter, man, there's a lot of specific prophecy not mentioned in the reading I gave you today. But another one, when he says, "I thirst," they connected that to the prophecy of Psalm 22, verse 15. Because it says, "My mouth is dried out like a pot shard. My tongue is sticking, clinging to my jaws." And what John gave us from the cross was this scene of Jesus saying, "I thirst." And when they gave him a little bit of liquid to moisten that mouth up, he cries out, "It is finished." So even that idea of "I thirst." But you know what he didn't say from Psalm 22? He didn't say, "They pierced my hands and my feet." But that's in there. He didn't say in there that they've surrounded me and they mock me and they say, "He saved others, let him save himself." Or the fact that they said, "Man, if God loves him, let God rescue him." That was all in there. He did quote, and the Gospels, the other Gospels, capture this quote from Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1. Do y'all know what it says? "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I've heard enemies of Christ try to say, "Look at there. Jesus was doubting. Jesus was frightened. Jesus was turning tail." They had no idea he was quoting a prophetic chapter about him. No doubt the cross was horrific and painful. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus quoted Psalm 22, he was letting folks know he was the fulfiller of Scripture. It wasn't just random words out there. And we're not talking about Nostradamus and ridiculous prophecies of the future. We're talking about the Word of God, talking about the Son of God who will save the people of God by the will of God. Do you believe the Word? Do you believe it? Do you believe the Old Testament and those prophecies? Do you believe the New Testament and the eyewitnesses? See, this passage covers that too. It says, "Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother." Oh, I know we've missed Mother's Day. It's been a few weeks ago now. You reckon if a mama watched her son be crucified, that she would tell the truth about it? You reckon if a mama watched her son struggle, pulling on those nails to catch a breath, you reckon she would tell everybody? I think she would. We think about Mary at Christmas time, but Mary is there at the cross too. And she's a witness. If an injustice had been done to your child, you know what I notice in this world? If somebody goes through an injustice, their mama goes to bat for them and shares what happened. And here's this mama standing by the cross. Do you think she is a reliable eyewitness? You know, she's one of the direct sources that's used for the Gospel of Luke. God uses Mary to give direct conversation about what happened, a direct eyewitness. Do you believe the eyewitnesses that testified about what happened to Jesus Christ? I hope you do, because the whole New Testament is based on that. Matter of fact, John says, John was there at the cross. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. It says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by." John's the one who's writing this account. And this is what he says. "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows he's telling the truth, so that you may believe." So I come back again. Do you believe? Not because you were told to, not to be a good boy or good girl. Because let's be honest, who cares about good boys and good girls? So what? Man, we got to get past all that jive. Are you God's man and God's woman? Do you belong to God? Are you based in the Word of God, not your own sense of morality? That's what I'm talking about. Let's get serious, right down to the foundation and the core of who you are. Is your life based on the Word of God or your best thinking? Which is it? Because you're going to have it one way or the other. It's either going to be, man, I'm based on the Word, or I use the word to kind of help me out. That's fine, but one day you're going to meet the author of the word, and you're going to find out he intended it to transform your life and make you born again. And you're going to say, woo, it's going to be a whole different day. Now, let me ask these two questions. Because based, if you believe in the word, then I have good confidence you're going to believe who Jesus is and you're going to receive Jesus. But let's look at that second question. Have you received Jesus? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you brought Him in? I think there's two signs that will really show whether you have or you haven't. First one is this. Is Jesus your King? Is Jesus your King? And the second one is Jesus enough? Is Jesus your King, and is Jesus enough? So let's get to that place where we're serious. Let's get to that place where we can think about it. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't ordinarily do, and I'm self-conscious about it, but I'm going to try to let that go, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to try. So make fun of me privately so that you don't wreck my mojo right now. All right, this is how it goes. It says, see the God of glory giving up His Son. See the awesome depth of love and all He has done. See the tiny baby on the hay so still. See Him take the cross and climb up Calvary's lonely hill. That hill, it was my sin that nailed You there. It was my cross You had to bear. Your precious blood has washed me clean. No greater love has this world ever seen. You died for me. You washed me clean. I am redeemed. Worship the King. Y'all, if at some point, if you look at the cross and you don't come away with the fact that Jesus Christ is your King, you've missed it. But historically, we got an account of that. The people who were there, there was a title put on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And the one request that the Jews had at the time was, don't write King of the Jews. Don't identify Him with us. Simply say He claimed to be the King of the Jews. He wanted to be the King of the Jews. He said He was the King of the Jews. But we don't claim Him. That was them. Where are you? Where are you when it comes to King Jesus? Is He your King? Or is Jesus just all right with you? Are you willing to just bask in His Spirit next to His people? Are you comfortable just being close to the Word, having tasted the goodness of God, but never committing your highest allegiance to the King of Kings? Who is He to you? See, when we're looking at the cross, it takes all the junk and the mojo and the hubbub out of the way, and it cuts right down to the foundation. Either He's your King, and you're going to claim Him, or you think some other thing, and you're in trouble. Y'all, Jesus Christ is King. We read it earlier. Lord of lords, King of kings. He will conquer all. He gives us the opportunity to belong to Him. The way you find out if He is your King, you ask yourself, to whom do you have the highest allegiance? In our culture, we can cut right to the chase. The biggest competitor for the kingship, the lordship in your life, in my life, is yourself. Your wants, your selfishness, your desires. It's those things, that self, that is competing for the lordship of Jesus. If you can take them or leave them, you're not His. You get what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you discern whether or not you really belong to Him. If your highest allegiance is to you and not Him, then you're going to have all kinds of idols in your life. You're going to have little kids, grandkids, dope, alcohol, money, jobs, relationships. You'll have all kinds of little filler-uppers in your life if He's not your King. Now, I'm not saying if He is, you won't struggle. But ultimately, He will conquer all those things in your life. Let me tell you, to those who struggle with Jesus Christ as King, you belong to Him, but you struggle. Here's good news. He wins. He will beat everything in your life. He will beat all the addictions. Everything will come to bow down before Jesus in you as long as He is your King. He will win the day. Hold your peace and watch as God fights for you. Fear not. He'll win. He wins. Our God wins. He is the King. But is He your King? Don't come and look at the cross and walk out just kind of fence riding about Jesus. The cross defies any kind of fence riding. In fact, let's look at that. When we think about Jesus Christ, I wonder if sometimes we have the same question like John the Baptist had. John the Baptist in the Gospel of Matthew said, "Are you the one sent from God, or should we seek another? Are you the one sent from God, or should we seek another?" And Jesus told His disciples, take word back to John about what you see here. The blind are made to see, the lame are made to walk, the poor have the gospel preached to them. He quoted prophecy from Scripture to say, I'm the fulfillment of it. But y'all listen to this. Jesus is enough. But is Jesus enough for you? See, Jesus knew all things were finished. All things had been accomplished. Verse 28 says, Jesus knowing that all things had been accomplished, He gets a little bit of moisture so that He can cry out, it is finished. You want to answer to whether or not Jesus is enough? Go to Jesus and listen to Him say, it is finished from the cross. When I hear people wonder if Jesus is enough to save people, is Christ alone enough to save people, is faith in Christ alone enough to save people, I want to take you to the cross and say, listen to Jesus when He says, it is finished. See, it's not about us adding on a whole bunch of good works, a whole bunch of money, trying to earn it back or do something like that. Find out. Come to the cross. Put your mind on Him and find out He is enough for you. Not just for the preacher, not for the Sunday school teacher, not for Mama and Papa, but for you. Is He enough for you? Otherwise, you're going to waste years of your life asking the question, is it finished? Is it finished? Am I good? Am I a child of God? Do I belong to heaven? Am I on the road with Him or what? You can waste years of your life, decades of your life in worthless religious pursuit. But if you'll stop and bow your knees at the cross to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, fill me up. I need what you got. I'll receive what you got. I ain't trying to earn it. I'm going to receive it like a gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He's enough. But you got to come to Him. You need to receive Him. I put that word in there, receive Him. Some people say, well, I don't know, John. That sounds like a work. It sounds like the Scripture. For as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to be the children of God. And receive Him. He's not going to kick down your door. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door of the church. The Holy Spirit is drawing people, not shoving people. You need to say, for me, is Jesus enough? For you, is Jesus enough? Is He? Is He? Wrestle with that. If you find a restlessness, a fear, a panic in your soul, in your spirit about who God is and what God's doing, you come to the cross. If you have that question, is it enough? Is it finished? You come to the cross and you listen to Jesus directly as He speaks forevermore, and it'll never change. His words are permanent. It is finished. That could be yours today. That peace and that rest that comes from knowing the one and true God. It says eternal life is this, knowing the one and true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Man, that can be yours. That peace of mind and that rest when you go to bed at night, that spiritual assurance comes only through Christ. That can be yours. You can be a child of God to the glory of God. God gets glory when He saves us. Call on Me, He says, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify Me. Man, that's the Word of God. But remember what my questions were? Do you believe the Word of God? You wouldn't believe how many people you could talk to. And you'd say, yeah, but the Word of God says. And they'll go, yeah, I know, but. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. Well, if you know what the Bible says, when you go, yeah, but, then you need to slow down and ask yourself if you believe or not. Now, I could point out that Jesus loves you. I know Jesus loves me, but. Jesus loves you. What do you mean, but? That's a big deal that Jesus loves you. And it's enough. And this is love. It's not that we love God, but God loved us. And He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. Man, you want... Do you have that Jesus is enough in you? If you don't, we're not here to shame you. Great day in the morning. If you don't believe in the Bible and you don't believe that Jesus is enough, I'm so glad you're here today. And I don't believe you're here today on accident. I believe you're here today to get it settled. We ain't here trying to make everybody the same. We're here to make sure everybody knows so that they can be saved and they can know Jesus and they can have life eternal. Man. Y'all ready to meet Him? We're going to have an invitation. It's short. Ain't going to be long. And after that time, we're going to do our graduation ceremony. But I don't want you to be misled. The invitation in church is not, you know, when we say amen, that don't mean God stops working. Even when we don't see Him, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. You know, we sing a song like that. Y'all listen. He's going to be doing something. You come to understand, if you find out in your own heart, just being honest, because I know you already know, but you just might have so much layers of junk on you that you're not willing to admit it. But when you wash all that stuff clean, if you know that to you it's not finished and you're still trying to earn it, or if you don't believe in the Word, hit your knees, man. Get to your house tonight. Go in your prayer closet. Go into your bedroom. Get in your car and drive. It don't matter what you do, but get it right with the Lord. It don't got to happen in this building. This building ain't nothing but steel and concrete. Praise God for it. The air conditioning too. Point is, don't you stop just because the music stops. If you got to do business with God, do it. If you got to do it tonight or later this week, do it. Don't you stop till you get it right. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us so much. Not just hypothetically, but You died for our sin. You died for me. You washed me clean. Because of that, I'm redeemed. Because of that, You're my King. Father, help us to have that confidence in You. Help us to have that boldness that it is finished. Our search needs to be over. Everything we need to be saved is in Christ. If there's any here today, Lord, they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe that it's finished with You, I pray You would work on them. And Father, if they're ready, that they would yield their self to You even right now, even today. If they're not, Lord, just stay with them. Be patient. Work on them. Draw them. Lord, we love You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
hide your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar.
Is it turned on? Yeah, please. It's on. It says on. It's green. I'm not as loud as John is. He's bigger than me. Hey, y'all. So, everybody that's seen me on crutches has asked if Keisha hit me, and that's a true story. I'm not joking. And the answer is yes. I told her to do what women do and cook, and she wouldn't do it, and she hit me. Yeah, y'all are laughing because you know I'm kidding. You're like, that dude didn't say that to her. No. Really, I accidentally went to Starkville, and as soon as I stepped foot in town, my knee blew out, and it's the craziest thing. But no, in all seriousness, man, it's a cool time. We get to honor our graduates, and this is, you know, every year it's cool because it's like, in one instance, it kind of sucks because they won't be in my class anymore. But in another instance, it's like, man, they're growing up and they're moving on and doing cool stuff. Some of them become workers in the church. Some of them go to college. Some of them, college ain't for them, so they just go get a job doing whatever, which is cool, man, however it works out. But there's a couple of things that I wanted to tell you guys before I call them up here, unless y'all want to start walking up here. I didn't figure they did. Okay. So if I was to tell you that 90% of the people that graduated from high school in the United States of America couldn't read, would you say that was a problem?
Yes.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 students that are raised in the church leave the church by their second year in college? Which means the church has a 90% failure rate when it comes to our college students, which is not good. And there might be a couple reasons for that. I don't know exactly what it is. One of them is, you know, our culture says go to college and party and do all that stuff, figure out who you are, and then you can live the good life after that, right? Get you a family, go to church, that kind of thing. But I think the reason is more than that. And I think a big part of the reason is that a lot of our students never had a real relationship with Christ to begin with. Their parents drug them to church, but they didn't have a real relationship with Christ. And one thing that's cool about our students is I was a part of almost every one of them accepting Christ. And man, that is so cool. And I've seen them grow in their faith. And so I'm confident that when they leave here, whether it's leaving Grenada altogether or whatever they do, man, I'm confident that they're going to keep going. But what I do know is we can't let them do that on their own. And so we've been praying for somebody that would take over our college group and just really work with those guys and teach them and just be there with them to hang out, you know, go bar hopping with them, things like that. And so with that said, Miles Bailey and his wife, Nikki, man, they've agreed to take him over. So Miles is going to come up, and he's got his speech he's going to give y'all real quick. I'm just playing. But no, man, y'all give Miles a hand. But man, I'm excited because he's going to invest in these guys. He's already invited them over for a slumber party and stuff, and He's gonna give them free food because when you're in college, you know there's a deficit there. But what I want to challenge you guys is to a couple of things. Number one, if you're in college or you're college age, come hang out with this guy. Are you gonna start it at 10 or not? At 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and whatever time he decides to start on Wednesday night. Normally it's 6:30. But man, we might do another night for college kids. We might just have like a total, it's just your night thing, y'all come hang out kind of deal. I'm excited about whatever they decide. But the other thing is this, if you're a parent and you have a child who is, you know, a child, they need to be in class. So I read the other day where this guy said, you know, he was like, hey, this guy was a great baseball player. And he went to college and he started drinking and partying and he just quit going to church. And so they pulled him out of college and brought him home. And they were like, where'd we go wrong, man? We took him to church all the time and he got saved. And you know what they realized? They realized that they had actually been praying to miss church the whole time he was growing up because they were praying that he would make the championship game in the tournament on the weekends, which takes place on Sunday. And they said, we actually realized that we weren't praying for him to play in the championship. We were praying to miss church. We were praying for him to miss the youth group activities as much as possible. So guys, if you have children, they need to be here, man. They need to be here. They're probably going to argue with you at first. You'll be like, oh, them people are weird, man. They're so weird. I don't like going in there, man. They're just weird, man. They're just telling you that because they're teenagers. That's what teenagers do. Okay? My son is 5. You know what he asks me every Sunday morning?
Do I have to go to class?
And he loves Nani. And he loves going in there with Nani. And he talks to Nani every time he sees Nani. But every Sunday morning, do I have to go to class? And he's only 5. So your teenagers are going to do the same thing. So guys, I know you get 30 minutes extra sleep on Sunday morning when you don't come to Sunday school and stuff. But what is your 30 minutes of sleep compared to their eternity? And that's all I'm saying on that. Okay? So that being said, now that I've thoroughly depressed everybody, you guys come up. My senior guys and ladies. Where's Lindsay?
She's right there.
Yeah, I know. Just wanted everybody to know her name. So we did have a couple of guys that couldn't be here, and that's Bryson Burkeen and Daniel Hessler. And so I'm proud of them. I wanted to mention their names because they did finish up. One thing on Bryson, y'all. Bryson, man, good gravy. There was times that I legitimately thought Bryson wouldn't live to see the next day because he was just doing some crazy stuff. But Bryson went to Camp Shelby here a while back. And has finished, man. Got finished GED stuff, and he is done. Yeah. And I'm proud of him. He's going to be back in a couple of weeks, and they're having a little celebration at his house. And so, you know, if you want to come, we'll just all show up at their house. And hopefully they have enough to eat. But yes, Caleb, we're coming. And so, anyway, man, I'm super stoked for him. And so, we're going to start with Miss Lindsay. Lindsay, you come get your pile of stuff here. You come over here if you want to. I don't have the virus. This is Lindsay Skelton, y'all, and she finished this year with honors. Really cool deal. But her plan is to go to Holmes and become an RN eventually, which is really awesome. And I am so proud to say that this year at DNOW in January, Lindsay came up to me after we left service, and she said, man, I want to get saved. Yeah. So, I'll give you a half hug because I'm on crutches and I don't want to fall. But you can sit down if you want to. I ain't going to make you stand up here. Y'all give Lindsay a hand. Next is Miss Catherine Dunn. Coincidentally, Catherine is done. Catherine, kind of like Bryson, took a different route. And man, we're so proud of Catherine. I think, what, you weren't even in there for like a month or something, were you? I mean, I don't know. This is a really intelligent young lady. She went and got her GED and finished so doggone quick. I was like, has she even started yet? And she was already done. And so, really awesome. We're proud of her. And she, right now, she's taking college classes already. She's kind of in the back of her mind. She thinks she wants to be a middle school teacher. And so, I encouraged her to come and observe a couple of classes at the middle school to see if that's really what she wants to do. Because two people become middle school teachers, the called and the stupid. And so, we just want to make sure she understands what she's getting into or if she's just mentally not all there. But either way, man, I cannot stress how proud of Catherine I am. I remember I told her that, I didn't tell her I was going to tell this story, but I am. She started coming 3 or 4 years ago when she was dating Josh, and she talked a lot, which is really surprising because she never talks now. And so, like ever, at all, to anybody. Matter of fact, when she gets married, they're going to say, do you? And she's just going to look at them. That's it. But have I embarrassed you yet? I'm trying really hard. But for real, we were in class and she would not be quiet. And so I was like, hey, Catherine, why don't you pray for us? And y'all, she quit coming after that. She quit coming for like 2 years.
And so I legitimately, like, y'all just don't understand. I was praying for her and for me and thinking, I have literally, like, taken this girl and sent her straight to hell because I just thoroughly messed her up in her brain for life. And I told her that story just the other day, and she was like, oh, I don't even really remember that. That had nothing. I was just cool. Like, me and Josh stopped dating, and I thought he was ugly and worthless and stupid and just an idiot. He was so dumb. And so I quit coming. And then they started dating again. And then here she is. Now she thinks he's pretty and sometimes. But look, I'm going to quit embarrassing her. I'm going to give her half a hug. She never hugs anybody. So I get that half of one. Y'all take a... I'm proud of you. You can sit down. Anyway, I'm going to leave her alone. But man, I'm really proud of Catherine. Very proud. Next, we have Mr. Nick Golden. Y'all give Nick a big hand. Nick is a really cool dude. He started coming a couple years ago. Actually, does Nick know this story? I'm going to tell this story. I don't even know if Nick knows this story. But I challenged the youth group to find a friend at school, whatever, that maybe doesn't go to church, doesn't have a church family, something like that, and really just get in their life, man, become good friends with them, invite them to church, that kind of stuff. But more importantly than inviting them to church, invite them to Jesus. And Josh did that. Him and Nick were already, you know, buddies. They talked and stuff at school. And he invited Nick to church, and Nick came. Nick's whole family ended up coming. And Nick and both of his brothers, a couple of years ago at Fuge, got saved. So all three of his brothers, man, it's so cool. We're not going to tell the story about you hitting your head and almost dying. Some people can jump off a rock into the river. Some people jump onto the rock and then into the river. They stopped the whole rafting trip for this guy. Like, when they train you for a lifeguard, and they're like, hold the back of their head, keep their body straight in the water, don't let them move, that's what they did to him. They thought he was dead, so did we. And literally going through my head was, how am I going to tell his mom and dad he died? Like, I can't preach his funeral, I killed him. In the world, but he lived. So, anyway. He lived. That's the whole story. He lived. But anyway, man, I'm proud of Nick, and I'm proud that he started coming and he got saved, because that is something that nobody can take away from you ever. Nick shared with me a little while back that he was kind of feeling called to be a youth pastor. And I was joking with him, and I said, well, you know, if you're going to be a youth pastor and you want your youth to actually come, you should probably come more often yourself. And we're still working on that, but I'm just being serious. But Nick, I can tell you this, Nick is the only person in a youth group I've ever had that has randomly called me. And I look down, I'm like, oh, Nick, man, what's up, Nick? Thinking, let me put my brain working, something's going on, I got to give him some good advice. And he's like, oh, I just called to check on you, see how you're doing. Only dude I've ever had that has called to check on me. And that is really cool, man. He's got a gift, and that's cool. But Nick plans on, and these are so opposite, but Nick plans on either going to engineering school or culinary school. I don't even know what to say on that. That's right. So he'll be able to feed you and fix your stuff all at the same time. But anyway, Nick, I'll quit embarrassing you now. I'm proud of you, too. Love you, man.
Love you, man.
And last and definitely least is Mr. Josh. I looked at his name like I didn't know who it was in there. Is Mr. Josh Goldwater, Michael Dusen, the 14th. I'm proud of Josh. His future plans are to work because that's all he's really good at. And I told myself before this, I was like, you can't go up there and cry. You got to like joke about these people. But when I became the youth pastor 4 years ago and I walked into class the first time, I had one student. We had one youth group member when I started. And that was Josh. And Josh, man, he is stuck in there the whole time. If I need something, Josh is my first call. And he helps me with whatever. I wrote you a little note in that book. I ain't going to tell it all right now because I might start crying. But we're going to kind of miss him a little bit, even though he'll still be here. But we're going to miss him in class because honestly, he's always there. Like my coach gave me what he thought was a compliment in high school. He said, "Harrison, what do you think your best attribute is for this basketball team?" And I said, "Oh, you know what I'm saying, coach? My shot, you know what I'm saying?" And he was like, "No, son, but your best attribute," that's really what he said. He said, your best attribute is you're dependable. You're always there. And I took that as an insult. I was like, so I suck at basketball, but at least I'm here. Okay. So you suck, but at least you're here. Nah, man. But for real, Josh, he is always here. I'm telling you, always here. He's here for class. He's here for the extra stuff. He is here, man. And I've seen God work in his life. I remember having conversations with Josh, and he don't know this, but I literally went home and thought, he is not going to make it. Like, this dude's parents are going to kill him, and they're our pastor and pastor's wife, and God help him, Lord, what is wrong with him? He's so dumb. Why does he say stuff like that, God? And then I remembered I used to say the same stuff to my parents, and I made it. And maybe he could too, but we weren't sure. But he made it, man. And we had so many cool conversations and just being able to mentor with him. But it's gone from like a mentor-mentee relationship to a friendship. And that's really cool to say. And I know Josh, man, he'll still help with whatever we need. He'll probably end up being the youth pastor one day or something here. Once he goes to seminary. But anyway, I'm not going to drag it out. I see y'all looking at your watches and stuff. And so I close with this, which means 10 more minutes. I really am proud of Josh. I didn't mean to talk about him longer than everybody else, but he's been here longer than everybody else. Man, Josh, he's just a good dude. He's a good dude. And anyway. Thank you. Anyway, you can sit down. I'm proud of all these guys, and there were six in total. Like I said, the other two guys couldn't be here. If you had a child that graduated and I did not recognize them, it's because they weren't part of the youth group, and I did not know them, or I did not know that they went to church here, and I'm sorry about that. Or maybe I knew they went to church here, but they never came to youth group. And I really am sorry about that. But we recognize the folks that we work with. But we did buy a couple extra Bibles and stuff. And so if you had a child graduate, I do have a Bible for them. And I know we've missed that in the past. And so we're trying to do better. And so that's whatever. I got them. But my challenge to you is this. Man, we got a college class. Y'all come on. If you're college age, come on, because this dude rocks. Like, y'all just don't understand. This guy rocks, him and his wife both. She can cook some taco soup, I know, for sure. But, man, they're awesome. And then with the youth group, guys, y'all send your kids to the youth group. For real, send your kids to the youth group. Like, don't play with it, man. Send them. Because you only got them for so long. And once they're gone, they gone. They gone. So with that, do I need to pray or just let you say something? Is there anybody that would like to come up here and be embarrassed? I mean, get a Bible? Anybody that graduated? No? They're not going to tell it if there is. I'm going to tell a story. I'm just going to make a story up. There was this one time.
Yeah, I'm going to pray. Hey, y'all. Give me that out of your pocket. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Ben. Y'all can go sit down now.
It takes a while.
It's all right. We'll wait. Let's watch Jamie as he trims that. Thank you all. Thank you all for praying, giving, and rooting for all our youngins. We are trying to do better in recognizing everybody. I do always say, hey, congratulations, you made it through the easiest part of your life. Now it gets tough. And it just does. But we're rooting for you still. We love you still. You're going to need the Lord more than ever. So keep that in mind. But start on that real basis of knowing Him. Y'all, we have, I think we have, Miss Suzanne, are you standing by a plate? Yes. If you'd like to give, we're doing the offering there's a plate. When you go out the door, if you want to put an offering in there, that's where it is. That's the offering. We do want to just remind you again that we love you. Also want to say, I haven't said a lot about Memorial Day. Let me just say this real quick. Y'all, we wouldn't be here if folks didn't lay it down for us in the past. If they didn't make that ultimate sacrifice, we wouldn't be here. If you got folks in your family that are veterans or fought or in the military, man, thank God for them. One of our prayers God convinced me I should always be thankful for is the law enforcement, the first responders, the military. These folks who are there. Y'all, we live in the greatest country in the world, and I don't care what anybody, it just don't matter. If I'm ever ashamed of the flag of the United States of America or the cross of Jesus Christ, put me down. I know that sounds so unpolitically correct in our day, but man, we got to have a spine. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And those two things, y'all, I think we ought to say, and of course the cross is priority, okay? We're citizens of heaven before we're citizens of anywhere else. But next we're citizens of here, and it's big. Be thankful and be grateful. All right? Y'all know we planted a big cross. The Lord planted a big cross over there where Christ Community Church building used to be. Right there on that hill. I encourage you. Yeah, amen. Hey, I encourage you to visit there. In the next couple weeks, there's going to be a flagpole there eventually. So we'll have the flag and the cross there. Be a great place to go and just be thankful. I'm going to pray and close. But as we do, Bert's going to be running a video that's just going to remind us about who our King is. Okay? And Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for everybody being patient in this service. And Father, I pray that even as this goes out, this video, that they would be thinking, is Jesus my King? I want Jesus to be my King. And Father, we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Thank you for letting us be your pastor. Ready? Three.
His righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heavens. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he purifies the meek. I wonder if you changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable.